All right, gentlemen, we're on the air. I'm Paul Funk. I'm with the USDA Cotton Ginning Research Laboratory, Mesilla Park, New Mexico. I'd like to introduce my co-authors who are in this room, Dr. Harden, Dr. Pelletier, and acknowledge others at the Cotton Ginning Research Laboratories in Mesilla Park, Lubbock, Stoneville, and Cotton Quality in New Orleans. Shepherd published a paper in 1972, which we all cite whenever we do research, that involves drying or fractionation. 50 grams of seed cotton, trash, and cotton seed are recommended, 20 grams of lint, to be put into a hot oven with a fan, and to be dried for 5 hours, 10 hours in the case of seed, or 1 hour in the case of lint. Shepherd allows for that time to be somewhat flexible based on the amount of change in weight. We take dry weights inside the oven if we're following the standard while the fan is still running. There are also two standards out there, ASTM and AATCC, which are similar, which have actually been combined since then. This is a picture of the correct system, the drying ovens that were described by Shepherd. When he wrote his standard, we used mechanical balances, electronic balance, as an innovation, didn't come along until a little bit later. But the basic idea is that we weigh the samples inside the oven. This is what's done in Stoneville to this day. Since Shepherd's standard was published, we've had a few inventions and innovations and so forth. So Ziploc bags came out in 1968. They didn't become widely available and affordable until more recently. Shimazu began to make the electronic balance in 1971. ARS Labs were able to afford it sometime after that. Federal Express did their first air freight shipment April 17, 1973. Now UPS and USPS have copied them. Electronic controls have made drying oven management a little more practical and accurate. And the all-plastic paint can, I was surprised, didn't come out until 2003. This is a picture of Dr. Harden taking some samples and putting them into Ziploc bags, and another picture of Dr. Harden taking samples and putting them in plastic quart-sized paint cans. Both of these methods are quite effective. Ziploc bags are preferred when we send them using overnight delivery, and the cans when we're trucking them home by road. Shepherd is not followed by any of the USDA Cotton Ginning Research Laboratories or the New Orleans Lab. New Orleans only does lint, but they do much smaller sample sizes than recommended by Shepherd. And they find the dry weight outside the oven. Stoneville does do the dry weight inside the oven, but they don't use a circulating fan. I can explain that a little bit later. Basically, if you turn the fan on, you overwhelm the heating elements and the oven temperature goes below what you are targeting it for. Lubbock and Mesilla Park both find the dry weights outside the oven. Mesilla Park gives an extra hour because we prefer to do a cold start. This is what it looks like, taking the samples out of the drying oven, putting them on electronic balance immediately adjacent to the oven. The glass doghouse is to prevent air currents disturbing the weight. Other things that have changed since Shepherd was published, you know, our research is going further and further afield, and we're sometimes miles from lab, sometimes several states away, and getting stuff back to the lab isn't as easy as it once was. The advantage of advances in computing technology is that sophisticated software is now available on PCs, and we can find differences with greater precision than we used to be able to. Size and weight of the materials that we're using, you know, seed is no longer 800 pounds per lint bale. It's as low as 550 in some cases. Sending stuff back to the lab, kind of always wondered, what happens when that box gets on the plane and it goes up to 37,000 feet and the pressure is lower? So these kind of questions have pushed us to do this research project, and I'm saying we've got a cooperation from a great number of people here. We're trying to document what we're currently doing and at the same time quantify the uncertainty of our current practices. By identifying the sources of those causes of uncertainty, we might be able to minimize variability and improve the quality of our research. The methods that we followed, we took four modern cultivars, stored them in controlled conditions, 65% relative humidity, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. We thought a month would be enough. It took us a while to get our project going, so it ended up being quite a bit more than a month. We determined the moisture content using the Shepherd methods and the methods followed by all four of the USDA laboratories. We did this over a range of initial weights. We also did some other tests in the middle of this for example, shipping stuff to a distant lab and having them send it back to us, so it was actually shipped 6 times by air, and then running confirming trials as necessary. Here's a picture that shows you the seed cotton that was used. We had samples that we brought from the Lubbock laboratory that had been field cleaned and not field cleaned. The not field cleaned at the far right was stripper harvested, had a great deal of trash in it. We also had spindle harvested Upland and spindle harvested Pina with the cleaner cottons on the left and left of center. The fractionation method that Shepherd describes we followed to the letter, and that's what you see in the lower right of this illustration. Changing the amount of material in the baskets that go into the drying oven turned out to be rather important. On the left, you see baskets that only have 25 grams, that's half as much as recommended, and on the right, 100 grams, which is twice the amount recommended. We repaired a couple of the older drying ovens. We had a white one and a gray one, one from Lubbock and one from Stoneville. Got them working with electronic controls, and that's how we found out that the fans can't be turned on without overwhelming the heating elements. This is a picture of our technician, Albert, weighing inside of the oven. And when you weigh inside the oven, you don't have to worry about the buoyancy effects. So there is an important difference there. Hot air inside the oven doesn't weigh as much as ambient air. To try and elucidate how important that is compared to everything else that's going on, we decided to find a material that didn't have any moisture content. So we used 4-aught fine steel wool. Steel wool basically doesn't absorb any moisture, so we thought this will work. And we did over a weight range of 25 to 100 grams, weighed inside and outside of the oven using the same balance. This is an illustration of the steel wool being weighed inside the oven. And here's how it's done. We hook the basket, take it off the carousel, suspend it inside the oven, and then hang it from the electronic balance. Then that same basket, after all the baskets have been weighed, is placed outside of the oven on top of the same electronic balance. And so that's our way of being sure that we don't have any other uncertainties introduced except the fact that we're outside instead of inside the oven. We've also added drying times of 1 hour and 5 hours to the prescribed 5. And we changed the location in the oven. With a large capacity oven, we can do 75 baskets at a time on 3 shelves. Those baskets that are near the door, every time you open the door to take out a basket off the top shelf, the one on the bottom shelf is exposed to laboratory air for a brief moment. And so it's been exposed at least 50 times by the time you get to it. It always kind of bothered me, and I wondered if that mattered. So I wanted to include that metric in this study. And even just storing our samples in Ziploc bags for a few days, I wanted to look at that and see if it mattered. Results. Variety harvest method and the trash content that resulted from harvest method had a very small influence. 1/3 of 1% at the most. This is a plot that shows the apparent moisture content. All these materials were stored in the same room at the same relative humidity and temperature for extended period of time, much more than a month. And so they, in theory, all have the same moisture content. On the x-axis, we have trash content. A trash content of over 35% in the case of the not field cleaned is exceptional amount of trash content. Seed cotton very rarely would have that much trash in it. So that's kind of the extreme case. For a more normal case where we have upland cotton that's been stripped and field cleaned, the difference between that and the upland cotton that was spindle picked was less than 0.05%. So very small difference. I can say basically it doesn't matter if there's trash in the cotton or not. It's not going to cause a big difference. Weighing outside the oven is a different story. It adds about 0.5% to the apparent moisture content because of the buoyancy effect. So here you see plotted around about 50 grams, which is the target weight for the methods, we're seeing a shift of 0.45%. Sample weights also influence the results. Here you see that if we get lighter than recommended, we could lose an accuracy by about 1/3%. If we get heavier, about 0.25%. We add those together, and it's important. Having steel wool inside and outside the oven by sample weight was a way of separating that from everything else that was going on, and we saw an interesting result there. 0.25% on one direction and 0.14% on the other direction. And it's not linear. And Carlos and I had a little argument about that. And he said, no, you got to be thorough. You got to do more than 2 points. Let's see if it's linear in the real world. And it turned out, yeah, I should have done the math ahead of time. When you divide the buoyancy effect, which is the volume of air that's inside that basket that's not cotton or not steel wool, by the base, which is the mass of steel wool or seed cotton that's in that basket, you have one number that's increasing on the numerator and the other number in the denominator, which is decreasing, so of course it's nonlinear. Additional drying time appeared to increase the moisture content. It wasn't a lot, a third of 1%, but yeah, we need to be careful that if we're using electric timers, just turn the oven on in the middle of the night, that we actually get to work when we think we're going to get to work the next morning and start doing our dry weights. Location within the oven, the amount of time it spent in Ziploc bags, and shipping it by air freight so that it experienced 6 trips up to 37,000 feet did not have any effect. And I'm relieved by these results because it means that some of our practices for sample handling aren't having any negative impact on the accuracy. I'm also relieved to report that the location inside the large capacity ovens doesn't matter. So we can continue with that. The error caused by weighing outside of the oven is consistent. It's important. It's large. It's about a half of 1%, but it's consistent. So if we're looking at the differences before and after drying system, for example, the study I'm going to report in the next meeting, it doesn't matter because the change is the same before and after. But we do need to consider this when we're looking at absolute values. So a couple years ago, we had a round-robin test between the 3 gin labs, and we were looking at handheld moisture meters that were used to find lint moisture content in bales. And there were differences reported by the 2 laboratories because there were differences in how we were finding our base. And Rick knows about that, but unfortunately, it was never published. Well, now it's going to be in print, hopefully. So thank you guys for helping me with this project. And I hope that what we've learned has been useful. Keep the sample weight as close to 50 grams as you can, and don't worry about how much trash is in there. Any questions? I got 1 minute, yeah.